Matthew McConaughey. McConaughey's all over the place. He's got a number one album, by the way.
His new album's number one?
Yes. Wow. Egypt Station or something like that, right? Wow. Is that the name of it, Brett?
I believe so. Yeah, it's his first number one album in 30-something years.
Yeah, he got himself a number one record. But I guess he was doing an interview. He said he hadn't listened to the White Album in 50 years. Mm. And I'm saying to myself, at least he's got the option. Yesterday, for whatever reason, it popped into my head that I wanted to go back and listen to old shows. Mm-hmm. Like old shows from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Just to see like where we were, where we are now. Did we have any ideas then that mm-hmm. knowing what we know now and all the years under about that we could have made really a lot better than I'm sure they were then.
Yeah.
And then I realized we cannot. We have nothing.
No,
we have zero.
I was going to ask. I thought you made it sound like you did do it.
No.
Like, where did you get them from?
No, it popped into my head that I would love to go back and do that. And I'm saying to myself, we literally have nothing. There's 19 years of history. There's literally 6 years of history.
Yeah. Don't we have like a spindle full of CDs from the just Steady Eddie early era?
It's gone. I chucked it. Because it wasn't that. There was like a handful of old interviews. But it wasn't like old shows with content and that kind of thing. It was just old interviews. And
man,
there was a couple of them I kept. I think because I brought them into you. I'm like, what do you want to do with these? And you were like, nah. What are we going to do with them? Right. We just got rid of everything. Like, we have no history. He can go back and listen.
But you have it. You just threw it out.
No, it was, like I said, it wasn't content. It was like interview stuff from back then. It wasn't what we would normally do on a daily basis.
It wasn't our White Album, for example.
Right.
You know, it was.
No.
I think bits and pieces.
I think our last Steve Perry interview was like White Album material. Like that.
Yeah,
was
that's great.
But we have nothing. I'm like, how do you know? Yeah. You listen, like Stern does the history of Stern, and he's got all those, you know, Sternology, Thology, whatever it is. Like he's got everything he's ever done. How?
Because he doesn't throw stuff out.
Yeah, I guess they save the catalog.
I might have some stuff like cassettes from years ago. Because that's how we used to archive.
But they have everything. Like, these other people, they have everything. Like, the Beatles have every master tape. Like, he can go back and listen to, you know, a specific studio session, that kind of stuff. Like, we have nothing.
That's true.
But what about air checks? I mean, like...
Nothing. We have nothing.
You have, like, from way before?
Zero. When I tell you nothing...
We don't have any cassettes. And honestly, if we had the cassettes from the beginning of the show, they probably started oxidizing and bleeding into each other and
let
probably
me put
wrecked
this
anyway.
Into the language of your people. Nada. Zero.
I wasn't quite understanding before.
Oh, now you understand.
Now, okay.
Monica, there's nothing.
Nothing,
right.
Okay.
No, that's not what she wouldn't understand that word. No, it's got to be nada.
I might have some tapes. I'll have to go take a look from, you know, like 15 years ago or whatever.
I mean, clearly.
And I'll give them to Al Levine, who's our midday guy in our sister state. He also does, he still does Hot 101.5?
Yeah.
He is notorious. He was just talking the other day about how he was taking air checks from like, I don't know. Like 19, what was it?
80-something?
Like 80-something, and he's loading them into his computer. So if anyone can hopefully get us this, listen to, it would be him.
He's running
cassettes into his computer and turning them into MP3s.
So that, then it sits on a hard drive. You don't have to worry about the tape oxidizing and losing all your precious audio.
Right.
Too late. But, I mean, Monica, I'm sure you think of this, since computers and hard drives, I mean, well, since, Brett, we know we have the last 3 years. We have a lot of stuff around, even before that, and we know we have all the Bone stuff, and we have like tons of best stuff in both shows, so we have that.
Can I ask you a question? Because the reality of the situation is, without Brett, you and I are completely unorganized.
Correct.
Roger and JP have been completely unorganized since day one. There's nothing.
Yeah.
At home, are you organized? Like, are your bills, but your files and all that stuff, is that all organized? Like,
files are just old stuff now because I don't have anything on paper anymore. So it's like old files.
You don't have
I used to have a bookkeeper who came in from my business and she used to take care of everything. It was great since then.
Okay. So, like, if you had to find something from your car insurance, would you know exactly where to go get it? The car insurance? Like,
is
it where it should be?
It's all online, though. And I know my car titles are in a fireproof box. I know that's where those are, and all my insurance information is online now. So I don't even worry about all my papers have become old news. I mean, there's nothing in there anymore. I have papers from my old house, even papers from the house we're in now. I have that folder. It's sitting right there, but, you know, I don't know of anything else I would need besides that.
If you find something for the town you live in, like regarding your pool permit, would you be able to go dig that up?
Yeah, it's in the same folder. It's all in one folder. Yeah. One big bulky folder. That's the only reason I know it exists.
Everything in my life, everything in my drawer, I have one of those things. It's a crapshoot. It really is. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, everything else. It's really all just gone online, which saves all of us.
I was cleaning my office yesterday, and there's like a folder with my my mother's death certificates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, where do I put that? Let me just put this over here.
No, put them in like a fireproof box.
Apparently, I got to put them in a fireproof box.
You have one, don't you?
Yeah.
That's important paper.
But right now, I have all my, it's, what we have is a safe that's built into the foundation in the garage.
Yeah.
And it's covered with stuff.
Ah, so you can't get
I would, I would have to put on a mining helmet, get some tools.
How come you put it there? Because they said putting it in a foundation is the way to do it, and the garage is the best place.
I didn't do it. We bought the house.
It it was there with it.
And it had the safe, yeah.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, I mean, I guess fireproof box, birth, death, marriage, car titles. I mean, I guess that's what's in passports, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's all in one. We have a box, and the girls have a box for their stuff, and that's how we keep it all straight. But everything else, God, I could light the rest of the office on fire. I probably wouldn't lose anything. Besides those two boxes, I'd probably be fine. It's just a matter of...
McCartney says, when he listens, quote, I remember where we were and the circumstances of recording each of the tracks. And the feeling is sometimes, quote, amazing because there I am right in the room with John, George, and Ringo. But John and George, particularly because they're no longer with us, it's quite emotional.
Mm.
How do you have the White Album in your repertoire and you haven't listened to that in 50 years?
Imagine that.
But I can get that. I can get that because I've never.
When's the last time we listened to a show?
Ever.
Right. It's been so long.
You don't
now.
Get air checked by anybody.
Right. It's been a long time since we've gone back.
That's what I find hard to believe.
Just to sit around.
That's what? That you don't have, that you yourself didn't make notes and say, okay, that's got to go on the air check, or, you know, or that nobody sits down with you once a month or whatever and says, hey, you know, this house is going, or I don't, it's nothing at all.
They used to. It used to crush us every day. We would get hammered.
That's a bit much.
Every single
early
day.
Early on. Yeah, because everybody needed.
And they hammered us into a certain form.
Because everybody had, everybody had to justify their existence.
And then, we've been.
These were the meetings.
And then since then, you know, they've added on a dormer here and there and adjusted us and repainted us. And, you know, and we've kind of molded into a thing that now has existed for so long as it is. I don't know. We keep, I think, evolving. But we haven't really looked at, like, little things anymore. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No.
You know?
That would take someone to be the person who says, okay, guys, every month on the 18th, we're going to sit down and, you know, review and whatever.
Yeah.
And well, like I said, it used to be every day. It's a lot.
And we'd sit in that reading and we'd roll our eyes.
Well,
because
then,
I have a very difficult time. Me, personally, I have a very difficult time getting critiques from people who have never done what we do.
Right.
Like, I don't. I just take your opinion and stick it. I don't.
Well, then why couldn't you three just do that so that you guys can tweak little things here and there or not, or know that you guys are on the right path? Well, you know what I mean?
Because we already spend a lot of quality time together, and honestly, we didn't want to look at each other any longer than we absolutely
Also, we hear ourselves all the time. Either when best ofs are played or when we're listening back to something for another reason, we'll hear stuff and be like, oh, wow, we're a little long there. You know, whatever the thing is. And we notice, and so we just make a little adjustments, but it's not like a big deal. But like to what you said, I used to get critiqued. Like, I did 10 years of Afternoon Drive, and I got critiqued by the worst DJ I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
So then what do? You just have to, laugh and while he's talking?
We're like, okay, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he had, you know, his basic stuff was back in the 90s was shorten up your brakes, which that's what life is 20 years later. He was way ahead of his time. But other than that, it was just difficult because he was just horrific on the air. But it's fine. You know, whatever. It's what the business is.
Am I guessing the right person?
Yes.
103.3 WVAB, Long Island's concert station, with live from Nassau Coliseum. It's the Green Day Show.
But in theory, he knew a lot. And, you know, he had theories and he knew a lot, you know, in his brain, but he just couldn't execute.
The same guy who played Like a Virgin on a rock station.
Right. Ooh. So, yeah, so there's that. So, you know.
Like, I don't know. I mean,
Paul not listening to the White Album, he just keeps moving forward. Think how fast their lives moved.
Right.
Forward, 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 constantly. And then jump into, you know, solo and Wings and keep going forward. And he's Paul McCartney and never stops. And that must be cool. I would love to do an interview with someone where we sit there and we do play a song or two of theirs and have them tell us what they're thinking of, because that's what happens, I think.
Right.
That's gold right there. Have a McCartney talk about what he remembers, because the song, the audio, brings that memory back so crystal clear, unlike if you're just sitting there and talking to a Rolling Stone writer. You wouldn't think of that, those details.
I can't think of anything that you and I can go back and find where I would remember the circumstances behind it.
Hmm.
Like,
But it might bring up memories of the people who were in the room or people you worked with at the time or other things that happened on the radio at the time that we totally forgot about. Like, that's what it'll, you know, like smell does. Audio will do the same thing. It'll spring those memories.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm pretty impressed that, what is it, 35 years, you said, Brett, since he's had a number one record?
Yeah.
As, you know, Dee Snider, you know, with him last week, and he's, you know, he had an album on the top, in the top 20 on Billboard. The dude hasn't had anything on the charts in 30-some-odd years.
And he's laughing. So the studio's like, it's incredible. I don't even know how it happened.
Yeah.
He goes, but it's great.
You know, that's got to be some feeling for those guys that all those years later, they still find a way to connect with an audience enough to get them to up out of their, well, however they want to consume it and buy it.
Right. And you feel relevant
again.
Not stream
it, not steal it, but buy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of going off into sunset and retirement, you actually feel like, wow, I am clicking with people and relevant in 2018. That's ridiculous for McCartney. But he's been around, and everybody loves him, you know, and he's constantly putting out new stuff. So,
you know, and for us, we're sitting here looking at it, and, you know, especially on the other show, I mean, we've been solid in Tampa's, you know, pretty much from 6 months in. The ratings haven't really budged much either on Long Island, but we're getting the biggest numbers we've ever gotten right now. Mm. It's like insane.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Sorry, Christian Bale. Your show sucks. You're not getting any ratings.
Yours, Brett, you're included in that.
I didn't say anything.
That was just Christian Bale.
You know, and to still be relevant is like, I don't know, it kind of makes you shake your head a little bit. Me, at least.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Does it make you want to get organized and get some?
No.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with it.
No.
All right.
No, it makes me say, thank God we have Brett.
Thank God.
I'm sure it makes Brett say, thank God they realize that, thank God they have you, because you obviously you take a day off and the world goes to crap.
Right.
It's so difficult. It really is. It's way more difficult than neither of us are here.
We think we've come up with a little bit of a solution now, which makes it a little bit easier, which would be, you know, Ted come in the other room and doing the traffic and stuff. And when he can do both shows, it's great. But, you know, it's definitely easier for Roger and I to be out than it is for Brett to be out. Yeah.
Now, is it because, I mean, you guys have been in the business a very long time. So in my head, I'm thinking you have the ability to do everything Brett does. Is it just that you guys?
Well,
no.
But you do. You know how to run a board.
No, I shun all of it. I shun everything. I don't want to learn it. I don't want to know it.
Oh, so you're like Ian Beckles, where you're just like, I'm not going to learn that.
I don't touch a lot of...
Is that what Ian's like?
And you straight up say it on air. Like, you stay over there on that side of the board and do that, and I'll sit over here. Like,
I have next to zero production skills.
But you've never, so you couldn't, like, if Roger and Brett, I'm just completely flabbergasted by this. So if Roger and Brett were gone and right now,
I could record a commercial, edit it, get it on the air, all that kind of stuff.
But could you run on the other side and make it happen? Keep the show on the air.
So Roger and I are carpooling with Ted.
Yes.
And we break down. We got a flat tire.
Fetal.
Hey, it's on you, buddy.
Fetal. Completely fetal. Completely fetal position. No, I can do it. I can get us on.
You'd find your way.
I can get in the other studio. In here, I have
in
no.
In here, you could totally do
Brett,
it.
If I said to Brett, all right, just tell me what's got to be in audition or whatever it is, and once I get the mic up, yeah, I can do it. I can get
right,
that
then
kind
it's
of
just
stuff.
An on and
but
off
if
button.
You put me in a, yeah, exactly.
Really?
You put me in a production studio and you asked me to
record a commercial with multiple musical tracks and sound effects.
Yeah, no, I can't.
You
do
could.
That.
If you can record.
No, I can't.
Here's
no,
the thing. If you can run the board in the other room, you can. A board is a board is a
there's
board.
A dip,
you
could, no.
Well, we're talking about
no,
producing
I'm
a commercial.
About producing and could, editing and everything else.
If
no.
You can record something into Adobe, you can do the rest. You're a smart man. You're one of those. You're like street smart. So you could figure
right.
it out. You
problem. Can, street smart. I could figure out a way to get somebody else to do it for me, which I've made a career of.
If you like those encouraging words, Monica is teaching at CSB. You can do it, she said.
Nice.
He's like, nope. I really feel like you could. You would just, you know, you could figure it out. You're smart enough.
Eventually,
to like,
I mean, you have to. You know.
Yeah, I mean, if no matter what kind of situation you put me in, I would like to think I'll swim before I sink.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. But with other people on the show who do these things, I mean, if you don't have to, you don't.
Right.
See, and that's just human nature. That's where you lose me, because I'm always, if I'm in the room, I need to know how to do everything in case. Mm. I mean, I might not do it every day. But just in
freak.
Case.
You know what? Yeah, exactly.
He's
Monica,
so
I was a control freak once.
Totally.
You know what it did? It almost got me in a loony bin. So I just let go and I let people do their jobs. And I help them. I'd like to think, though, I let people do their jobs and help them do their jobs to the best of their abilities.
And how would you help Brett make a piece of production to the best of his ability? Because that's the part you said you don't know.
Or help him get the tools and stuff. No, not that. But, like, you know.
It means, if he's got an idea for something or whatever, he'll put it in. But he won't go, listen, you have to do it that way. He'll give the suggestion.
Right.
Or if Brett's, you know, wrapped up in red tape with management or something like that, I can usually go in there and, you know, untie the knots of the tape or whatever it is. But as far as the actual skills to go in and do it. No.
There's a little inside look.
No, but you know this. There's not a GM in a building that can walk in and do it.
I don't know.
Not one.
I don't know.
You want it to balance a checkbook? There's your people.
Yeah, well, they're more. I mean, they usually come financials. Out of the sales world, so it's not really, you know, our world.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, it is true with Brett. I like to give, like, here's a nugget of an idea, Brett. Mm-hmm. Here's just a couple thoughts.
Hey, right.
Do whatever
you
want with it.
Yeah, but you guys are lucky that he's so good at the creative stuff like that. You can easily do that.
I was just trying to think where we were, because did we ever tell that story, the Brett story?
Which?
When they put the gun, they made us make the change and we were pissed and all that nonsense.
Oh, it's horrible.
We should, you know.
That's my least favorite. That's my least favorite memory of 19 years of our show.
And then all the years we spent trying to get him back, and he was like, F you.
Wait a minute.
You know what? Let us break, and we'll tell the story when we come back.
Yeah.
Let us break, because we're running late.
Least favorite memory.
Yeah.
No question about it. Ugh. Roger and JP, 102.5 The Bone, Real Raw Radio. We'll be right back. We're just talking about really the history of the show and how we don't have anything. But what we do have is since Brett's second tenure with us. I mean, everything is organized. We have, like, everything from both shows. And
you know, and the thing about Brett, like, you brought it up before, Monica. It's like, and Brett brought it up. You only have to have a germen of an idea and to just hand it off to him and let him go. I mean, how many times have we done that where we actually had to change anything?
Mm.
Like I said,
Not very often.
We were doing the morning show this morning. And I said to Brett, I go, you should do a video of Calta as Calta wishing himself a happy birthday. That's all I said. 2 hours later, I go on Twitter. I don't even know what's done. It's out there. I just walk into it. I'm like, it was brilliant.
It was brilliant. It really was.
So when you can do that, when you have somebody on your team, when you're able to be in a place now where you just trust everybody on your team to do what they do.
Exactly. So
easy breezy.
This is part two. This is like version 2.0 with Brett, because he was our producer early on in our years on the other show.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Brett, what years?
I started off as like an assistant associate producer in 2002. And then I got in our sister station. I became the producer there.
Oh, right. They stole you.
We freaked out about that.
Right. So I was with you guys for like a year. Then I went to our sister station for a year. And then your main producer, Hillary, left, and you said, do you want to come back? I said, okay.
But we had a fight to get you back.
Yep.
It was...
Right.
They took him from us.
Right, but they were worried about us getting you back from them, even though they stole you from us.
Right.
Where did you go? Who stole you?
Okay,
the hit station down the hall.
He was on our show, and the hit station needed somebody.
So it's like if Miguel and Holly stole me from them now. It's kind of like that.
What happened was we were in a place that we had, Roger and I, we had no support.
Mm.
We didn't have a supportive GM. We definitely didn't have a supportive PD. I know I didn't.
Yeah, we did not have a lot of juice in that situation.
Nothing. And they just took him and said he's going to be a lie, and we didn't even have the chance to like fight for it. And
it was like done before we even knew.
And we knew that other show was going to blow up. And so then we wanted to get him back, but we had a fight to get him back, and then they were pissed off. It just sucked. And then after we got him back, I guess it was like, not even 6 months?
Probably.
Was it really that short?
And they were doing like some cost cutting thing, and they were like, we have to let Brett go. And we freaked out.
What?
Freaked out. And it was the single worst.
So we have this in common.
Yeah, awful. Awful, because I can see.
We don't have a lot in common. That's something we have in common.
Because we didn't want to do it. We didn't want it to happen.
No, of course not.
Because we knew we had something.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? We knew we had something. The three of us knew we had something. We did not have support from management at all at the time. And we were only a few years in. We were a young show. We were still trying to find our way, you know?
Yeah.
And they not only did they let him go, but they made us be in the room to let go.
No way.
The worst.
So wait a minute.
So, practice, so basically, they made us watch them kill our puppy.
That's exactly right. And
that's me.
And we had to know, I don't know if it was hours before or the night before, we knew they were going to do this. It was horrible. And you have to, like, do your show and be normal. Yeah. I think, I don't remember when they told us exactly.
Right, me neither.
But I know it wasn't a second before.
I just know the day we lost that program director was one of the best days in my career. For me.
So you had to sit there as he tells this guy that we love and want on our show that they're cutting, and we're like, now what do we do? Well, we're going to hire another producer. You're going to what?
Right.
You're like, so we're going to get another producer?
Yeah. So why let go of the one that works? Hired, that makes no sense.
There was...
Right.
When I came back, after coming back from the hit station, for being there right before everything blew up, I wasn't running the board at that time. So I was kind of like a Garrett Delabate, you know, like a Baba Booey. Like I produced from the board, not from the board area.
An idea and an organization
Matt,
standpoint.
Right. This guy, Matt, they called him Matt the Dew Guy at the time, who was an intern who became the board op at that time. So I was running the show from...
Who was also talented, but not Brett by any stretch.
Right.
By any stretch. Nor did we have the chemistry with it. It was just like the whole thing. Just
right. So they just pretty much went without a producer, I think. And then another guy who came in and whatever. And then you got another guy, a different Matt, who became like producer for like 6 or 7 years after that. And I went to kind of like Bay News 9. There's a local news channel up here called News 12, where it's run by the cable company. It's been around for like 30 plus years. So they still have this station there. It's a news and it's a traffic and weather TV station where every 2 minutes there's a traffic report and then a weather report, and they would be live 24/7. So I wound up getting a job there through a guy that I met here at the radio station,
which gave him free cable.
Right, they gave me free cable, internet.
You guys don't give them free cable.
So it was a great job, and I was there for like 8 or 9 years until they blew that channel up.
But what happened was, let me rewind a little bit. So during that time period, you know, producers would come and go because they wanted to take the next step in their career, because it was up until recently, and I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know what you make. I have an idea, but... It was a grossly underpaid position. They didn't want it to really be a producer. In their eyes, it was just a board op. And we always knew we wanted a producer, and Brett was that guy. So we went out and tried to get you back, what, 3-4 times over the course of those years?
Yeah,
it was probably and all those times, Brett at least took the phone call or took the meeting.
Oh, but
he was like in a pissy mood.
TV money. He was not leaving that spot.
He was not leaving it.
It was security, and we would call him from like the phone downstairs in the conference room. A couple times I remember going down there, we're like, well, Brett, we have this opening. Any chance you would consider?
I'm like, there's no way pay me.
That's right.
So then, I knew what that job paid, and there's no way you could pay me what I was making at that moment.
Then listen to this classic move. Bring us back, say, 4 years ago, and we're looking for a producer. And we were interviewing a bunch. We had this kid that we thought we liked. We weren't sure, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, I go into my GM's office, and he goes, so you happy Chris hired Lou? You happy with Lou? We were like, what? Our program director hired a producer without telling us.
We didn't know.
So when I said to my GM, we went, what? He goes, what are you telling me? I go, no, what are you telling me?
We have no idea.
He goes,
what you're talking about.
You weren't in with hiring Lou? We said, no.
What is even happening?
And he was just like, oh, God. So I knew we were still early on in that whole thing, but we also knew it wasn't going to work out. So we went to Brett and we're like, listen, we're going to make this happen. Come hell or high water, we are going to undo this damage that was done. And Brett was still like, no, I'm good.
I got security here, guys. I remember him saying that.
And then that job, he got let go from that job because they got rid of everybody.
Right, they kind of blew the station up. So it's like, it's still on, but it's like a shell of what it was.
So
it became from like a 24-hour thing to they just did morning drive. And my full-time position, if I wanted it, I could have had a part-time version of it at half the money. And I was like, oh, man. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Now look who wants to take a meeting.
Right.
And, well,
it just worked out. But then we had to like get somebody, you know, because they have like a 30 or a 60-day window. It just wasn't working. And then we were able to get it back.
See, here's what I want to know. And God bless the people that were in and out that didn't work out, and that you guys obviously wanted Brett the whole time. I feel, I love that Brett's back. And I didn't realize how new back to the show he was, relatively recently from when you started here. I just assumed he'd been with you the whole, entire time. But I feel bad for this Lou guy or whomever that somehow they got let go then because
you know, he shouldn't have been hired in the first place.
Well, that's true, too.
He shouldn't have been hired in the first place. We knew he wasn't the right guy.
Yeah, within 2 months.
We knew that, again, he was one of those people, like, unless you talked about his family life, there was nothing. There was nothing deeper than that.
How does someone hire someone for a show?
That's a great question.
We don't know.
The show people that have to be a one-on-one with every single... I don't understand.
I think he thought he was going to show our GM that he was a decision maker and he got things done and this, that, and the other thing.
I think he was just trying to do his job, but he didn't...
We were just like, wait, what? You hired a producer without really telling us? And we had to see the whole thing.
He's not the first Speedy to do that, by the way. This isn't rare in radio. Right. A lot of times, Speedy's jam stuff down your throat. It happens in the business. We're like, listen, this is management decision, and here's what you're going to have to deal with.
I was jammed down.
Otherwise, you got egos that will never stop telling you what they want and that it's not right. So sometimes they do that. Yeah. And I don't know why he did it there, because that's not what we were doing.
Right.
But sometimes Speedy's would be like, here's the law, and you're going to live by it.
And then the whole thing, and then there was a salary requirement for Brett. And they don't want to pay producers what they deserve. They want to pay them as board ops and kind of treat them at whole. But Brett was way more than that. So I remember getting the phone call with my GM, and I'm like, just give it to him. He's like, he's holding out for like $5,000 more. I'm like, give him the money.
Oh, my God, that's nothing.
Just give him the money. Just stop this and give him the money.
Well, I also had an offer from a New York City station, too.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, good for you.
There was that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice, though.
That's a good place to be at, is for Brett to have something else going on. Otherwise, you're at the mercy of the next job.
I got very lucky to be out of work for that little of a time. To be out of work and then have a couple of offers right away.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying timing-wise. You're right. It's a rare thing. Yeah. But at the same time, it speaks to how many people want you because you're just that good. Like, nobody's getting two offers like that if they suck.
It was a perfect storm, too, because we also had we have a GM that was able to see past the money and listen to us and be like, I'm telling you, he's worth it. Mm-hmm. And then have results.
Right.
Right away.
And he said to us, it's on you guys.
Yeah. Oh, he made sure.
I want to hear a difference. Right. I want to know this is important. It's important to you guys, so I will do it. Mm-hmm. And God bless him for having the open mind to do it because that rocketed our show to a new level.
Right.
Because he had his open mind and because of Brett. So, it's tough, though. I mean, at any moment, that could have totally not worked out after it didn't work out for how many years?
Everybody wants to go to New York City radio, and here I had the ability to do it.
Yeah, you did.
Potentially. I remember being in the office in New York City, and they're like, can Roger and JP offer you this? And there's a big view outside of his window with...
what a jerk!
With, the Empire State Building right there. And
now you're in the closet.
Oh, that's what he's offering you, a corner office
can they
with a
offer
window?
You this?
Right.
This is where everybody wants to be.
The answer is no. We offered you an office with no windows, no view whatsoever.
But it was 10 minutes from where I live, so it's a little bit easier of a commute.
Right. Thank God the money got close enough.
And obviously I knew the show.
And let's make no mistake about it. Brett's keeping this entire segment in his pocket for a year from now when all the contracts come up. He's like, hey, fellas, you think I'm not worth it?
He's already texted Special Ted, who's editing it as we speak.
He's listening live and recording right now.
Yeah, and Brett still has an office with no windows.
No.
In fact, now it has no doors because we have open spaces. And there it is. So that's it. We almost didn't have Brett. So you guys enjoyed him so much.
Having a fire. Like, I've been in situations where we've had to sit and fire people, whether it be for the morning show or programming stuff, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. It doesn't matter all that much because they just, if they were good or if they needed to be, they would have still been there. But that was the worst.
Yeah. By far.
Worst, because we knew, number one, we liked them, but number two, we knew it was a mistake.
Right.
And you guys were really...
And then we may not recover.
Yeah, and I knew that was true, too, because you guys were like, here, I'm going to get you this lead for this job, and I'm going to call this one, I'm going to get this one. You guys truly...
And like, when you were thinking about coming back, was that one of the times... Once in a while, I'll run into Brett in the parking lot, and I feel like that was one of our parking lot talks where I'm like, I know what our background is on this and that me saying anything to you, but please take this job because at the time you got fired.
Right.
I mean, you who had no reason to believe anything either of us said because of what happened a few years before that.
Right.
But then, to Brett's credit, we were like, maybe he saw in our soul and he knew we were like, that is not what's going on now. We have a little juice now. We have a little security, and we know you're right, and the GM's going to know you're right, so come do it. Say yes. Please say yes.
Didn't we meet at, like, an Applebee's or something like that?
A Houlihan's.
A Houlihan's, whatever it was.
Oh, man.
And I remember sitting there, and I remember it just being cold. Like, I remember that, like, it just, and Brett was like, he was a gangster. Like, he had straight face on.
Well,
like,
we screwed him over. I mean, that's how he could feel about it, even though.
He was the Rod Robin Quivers, and you guys were the Howard Stern. And he just was like, screw you guys. I'm not going back to that nonsense. I ain't getting treated like crap and getting screwed over.
Well, that's what I said. It's got to be different. The money's got to be better. And the situation, you know, we got to handle things differently.
Right. And then you had to trust and make the jump.
Right.
And then day by day, month by month, we had to prove that it was different and you weren't, you know, going anywhere, so you could stop twitching, thinking that somebody might fire you.
Right.
That we didn't even know it was coming, you know? And now here we are. How many years has it been now?
So now we're
four?
Like four and a half.
18?
Yeah.
How many years?
Heading towards five.
How did we live before this? I don't even know.
Not happy.
Right. And so that's like some of the history that goes behind the three of us and our relationship.
How
just
different would your Tampa show have been without Brett?
Markedly. I mean,
that came just in time.
No. Well, he was back for over a year by the time we got the Tampa thing happened.
We did have an audition show.
We had those Saturday shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A couple of those.
Those are just one shots before.
As soon as they came back.
Well, we've been doing this one for, at the end of this year, 3.5.
Yeah.
Right? So it's been 3 and a couple months now. Right. And you've been here 4?
I came back February 2014.
Man, oh, man. Well, there we are, so.
Where would we be without you? I don't know.
It's okay. We're all here now. We're all here. That's all that matters.
Is it okay? Are you sure? Just hug me.
Monica, you said you were shoved down our throat. You were just in the right place at the right time.
Sure were.
But you could
Nobody shoved you down our throats. No, we didn't have to talk to you on the air.
No.
You were in the room.
We liked having you.
No, I know you're right. And you guys, for the longest time, JP and I would IM JP stuff, and he would say, well, get on the mic and say that or whatever. But I wasn't trying to, you know, whatever. I'm saying you didn't have a choice as to who was sitting behind here. They just said, okay, Monica, you're doing it. Okay.
Right, because at the time, my impression was that the board ops were just the board ops. They were just there, and we didn't have to have them on the show. But we like having those other people on the show.
Right.
There's like gold in people, you know. Humans are gold.
Like, we'll always try to find some, like, if somebody's in the room, you know, I feel like it's part of our job to find out their strength and exploit it.
Yeah. Or their weaknesses and exploit it.
Exploit it, right. Or their craziness and exploit it.
And there it is.
Yeah. All right, let's go to break. Right. Boy, it was fun reliving those memories. Thank you, Brett, for what you do. Thank you, Monica, for what you do.
Thank you.
This whole show has been a living, breathing amoeba for a long time.
At Captain Awesome. It'll be funny if Brett gets funny at the fire tomorrow.
Hysterical. How ironic. And it is a Friday. Uh-oh.
No, they do it on Tuesdays now.
Oh, I see.
I think I was fired on a Tuesday.
Just a surprise.
So we got until at least next week. We're good.
So you never see it coming. For Roger JP, it's the Bone Real Raw Radio. Thank you guys for listening to our show, such as it is, for the last, like, 3 months, whatever it is. We appreciate it a lot.
On 102.5 The Bone.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.